Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we meditate on your word and hear your word proclaimed, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Amen. When I was in high school, if you had told me that I would be sitting 10 years later, voluntarily, on bleachers on frigid fall nights watching high school football games where there were student athletes that I had no personal connection to, I would have laughed at you. In high school, I was part of the marching band and attended football games every Friday night from late August to early November. And most Friday nights, I would root against my high school's team, the Danville Ironmen. Now, it wasn't personal. I didn't have a problem with the football players. On a whole, we left each other alone. I rooted against the Ironmen primarily because I did not want to see them make it to the playoffs. The thought of spending more nights in November holding a brass instrument exposed to elements was not my cup of tea. One time, I even made a little wager with my girlfriend, betting against the Ironmen, which led to me marching in the Halloween parade in a poodle skirt, but I digress. This year, I sat through quite a few high school football games on frigid fall nights. And one aspect of the games I've come to love are the fans. A few years ago, I went to a playoff game with two of my parishioners, and their alma mater was playing. They had gone to a private Catholic school, and now they were in the Quad A playoffs. We got to the game late. I had a wedding rehearsal, and it started over an hour late that night. The game itself was an hour and a half away, and I was stewing about how late the rehearsal had went, and by the time we got to the game, it was close to halftime. We soon found seats at the game, but it was hard because the place was packed with fans. We sat sitting on the visitor's side with other alumni from the high school, and pretty soon I was just enveloped in a whole different world. I had never seen such passionate football fans before. I wondered at times if my parishioners would ever sit down. The fans kept cheering and encouraging our team, even when they started to lose. The fans were more passionate than the cheerleaders. In fact, one of my parishioners actually got the whole crowd to start cheering, and the cheerleaders had to scramble to catch up. This fall, I joined my dad for the Danville-Bloomsburg game in Bloomsburg, and my dad got to the game 55 minutes early, and the only seats left open were in the Bloomsburg side. We ended up sitting on the Bloomsburg side with fans who were even more passionate about their team than my parishioners and their alma mater. They had a phrase or chant for every play and every player. Every time there was a first down, they would shout in unison, move them chains, hook. For every major player on the field, they would have a chant when they made a play. Initially, I had hoped that once Danville stormed ahead of them in the score, they would stop being so enthusiastic. And every time I heard, that's the way, I like it, I kept hoping that I would feel schadenfreude later, which is the German word for malevolent delight in the suffering of others. Over time, though, their passion for the game sort of enveloped me. While I was rooting for Danville, it was hard not to get caught up in their enthusiasm and passion. When Danville came back very late in the game and won, I almost felt bad for the Bloomsburg fans around me. Their passion was a bit endearing. When I think of passion or being passionate, I think of high school football fans of a successful local team. Rarely will you find a group of people so focused, so dedicated, so enthusiastic, or so invested. For about 2 hours on a Friday night or Saturday afternoon, a group of diverse people come together united around a local team. With cheerleaders and marching bands, a crowd forms to cheer, to root, and to encourage the athletes. For 2 or 3 hours, there is no question what the fans are passionate about. People are passionate about what matters to them. Christians should be passionate about worship. I say should be passionate because how often does the word passionate come to mind when we think of worship? Passion is a word that's related to intense emotions. But how often could our emotions be accused of being intense on Sunday morning? Worship is one of the most important ways that we show our love to God. In worship, we praise God, thank God, listen for God's word, and respond to God's word, and are changed by God. Worship connects us to God. Worship, then, is a reflection of our relationship with God. If we are passionate about God, our worship is going to be passionate. If our relationship with God is weak, then our worship will be devoid of passion. If we are passionate about what matters to us, and we are not passionate about worship, then we have to question our relationship with God. Since worship is one of the most important ways we show our love towards God, it's a barometer for our relationship with God, both as individuals and as a church. As individuals, if we're not passionate about worship, we have to ask why. Why are we not passionately showing our love towards God? Is it because we're not passionately in love with God? Are we not spending time daily talking to God in prayer? Have we stopped reading from God's Word? Did we abandon our spiritual disciplines that inflamed our relationship with God in the past? Were we ever passionately in love with God in the first place? If we're more excited about watching our favorite football team win than we are about worshiping God, then what does that say about where God stands in relationship to football in our lives? It's a barometer for us as a church, too. If we are collectively not passionately worshiping God on Sunday morning, then we as the body of Christ in this time and place are not in right relationship with God. We should be passionate on Sunday morning. We have gathered here together to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have assembled to be encountered by a living God. Worship is passionate when we put all we have into it. We are passionate about the things that are important to us. If we gather here together on Sunday morning and we're not passionate about worship, then we as a church have a problem with our relationship with God. Either we as a body are not passionately in love with God, or our worship has become an obstacle for us to expressing our passionate love for God. Most of us would say that our relationship with God is one of the most important ones in our lives. Yet does this pan out in worship? Are we more excited to worship God than we are to watch our favorite football team play in a championship game? Someone passionate about cooking barbecue might spend days preparing and barbecuing a piece of meat. But how much time do we spend preparing for Sunday morning worship? A student passionate about getting good grades will work hard and do his or her best to get A's. Do we give our best work and efforts in relationship to worship? Do we use our gifts, talents, and labors to show that worship, by extension, our relationship with God, is important to us? I ask these questions because it's not simply enough to worship. Bishop Snazy, in his book, paired each noun with an adjective for a reason. Almost every church worships. Churches that stand out go beyond the motions of worship. They are passionate about worship. It stems from who they are in relationship with God. They want to connect with Jesus in worship. Connecting to God through the living Christ in worship fuels their burning passion for God. Today's gospel lesson is all about connecting with Jesus. It comes in the context of the Last Supper and Jesus' last words to his followers before he is arrested. And when I say his last words, you might think that it's a small discourse, but if any of you have ever read John chapters 13 through 17, you know that Jesus has many last words to give to his followers. In today's lesson, Jesus compares himself to a vine that is pruned by the Father. Jesus tells the branches of the vine to remain in him, and in turn, he will remain in them. Towards the end of our lesson, he uses this language by reminding them, saying that they should remain in his love. By remaining in his love, they remain in the love of the Father. It's in worship that this image of Jesus as the vine is most fully lived out by his disciples. It's in worship that we are connected to the vine. In our songs of praise, our prayers, listening to God's word, hearing it proclaimed, and responding to it, we connect to Jesus and the Father. A vine has many branches. Jesus has many followers. It's in worship that we, the branches, are connected with the other branches to the vine. Our Christian journey is not a solitary one. Whether it is a vine with many branches, the body of Christ, the images that we use to talk about the church are not individual ones. While we can and should show our love towards Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit in our private devotions, we cannot fully be a branch on the vine if we are not connected to the other branches on the vine. A vine without branches will not bear much fruit, and branches without a vine will bear no fruit. It's easy to be passionately in love at the beginning of any relationship. Before you know the other person's flaws, before the first wounds of hurt have been inflicted, before the phone calls become routine, and before your lives become routine. It's not difficult. And the best proof of this is that teenagers do it all the time. What is really difficult is to be passionately in love over time, to build and foster a relationship that is passionate and endures the years. That takes time, energy, and an investment by both parties in the relationship. Both parties have to believe that the relationship is important, and they both have to invest and work at it. We are passionate about what is important to us. It's easy to be passionately in love with Jesus when we first come to know him. It's easy when we first have accepted him into our hearts, when we know the joy of forgiveness and the warm embrace of God's grace. Just like human relationships, though, it's easy to lose the passion. Not because God has lost God's all-consuming love for us, but because we don't make God a priority. We don't read God's word. We don't pray. We don't fast. We don't take worship seriously. We don't invest in our relationship with God. When we cut ourselves off from the vine, our passion and love for God dies. Worship is often where visitors first enter the church. When they enter a church that is passionless in worship, it leaves a bad impression. If worship is not important enough for the people in the congregation to be passionate about it, then why is it important at all? If the people are not passionate about the center of their worship, then what does that say about the center of their worship? Are they worshiping a living God? Are they in Jesus, and is Jesus in them? As we go through this sermon series, we need to see the five practices of fruitful congregations as gut checks. If we are not bearing fruit in our practices, our ministries are not lining up with these adjectives and nouns, then we need to evaluate where do we stand. A congregation that is thriving is a congregation that is passionately worshiping God. Knowing that passionate worship is what thriving congregations do is not enough. It seems rather obvious when you think about it. If we could pick a congregation that is passionate and a congregation that is listless, we would almost definitely pick the congregation that is passionate. If we want to be hospitable to strangers, if we want to invite them to be part of the body of Christ in this time and place, we need to know that they're going to accept the invitation and they're going to want to stay here because they see that we are passionate and we care about God. If we're apathetic, then they're going to have to ask the question, well, if they don't care, then why should we? Like radical hospitality, though, we cannot just say, oh boy, today we're going to have passionate worship. Radical hospitality, passionate worship, they flow from our relationship with God. It comes from us being branches on the vine. It comes from us remaining in God's love and remaining in love with God. Growing in our relationship with God each day, radical hospitality and passionate worship are the fruit that we bear in our relationship with Christ. If we want to worship passionately, we need to be passionately in love with God. Passionate relationships take work. It requires us to invest in them. We are passionate about what's most important to us. If we're going to be passionate about worship, then we need to be passionate about the source of our worship, which is God. If we are passionately in love with God, and we're still not passionately worshiping, then we need to say, what are the obstacles in our way? Is our service an obstacle? Is our music an obstacle? Are we, the body of Christ, making worship a priority, giving it our best in terms of our time and talent, and giving it all to God in love? This week, I invite us to evaluate our relationship with God and evaluate the congregation's relationship with God. Are we passionately in love? If we're not passionately in love with God, our worship is not going to be passionate. If our time with God on Sunday morning, the body of Christ here on Sunday morning, is not a priority, not the most important time in our week, then how are we going to be passionate? Passion is how we show that things matter to us. May we grow in our relationship with God so that passionate worship is one of the ways we are a witness to God in the world. Amen.